Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Still in that attitude of thanksgiving, why don't we just rise up and thank the Lord? The testimony that we have heard, He is the giver of life. He is God who has preserved. He is God who has done great things. Heavenly Father, once again we thank you, O Lord God, for Noah. The comfort that you have given to this family of Nilesh and Veronica, O Lord God, and to the extended family, and to this congregation, you have given a testimony, O Lord God. The testimony of your goodness, the testimony of your mercies over our lives, O Lord God. Father, I pray, Lord God. Father, I use Noah as a point of contact for everyone over here. Father, that we shall all grow to be the Ezekiels. That we will go in the strength of the Lord to every place that you have called us into, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, blessed Father, for you are so, so good unto us. Just as we sang, O Lord God, your goodness, Father, it overflows over our lives. And today, O Lord God, as you speak to us, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord God, we come before you with our weaknesses, with our little strength, with our little hearts, O Lord God, before you. You are God who enlarges our understanding. You are God who opens our eyes, O Lord God. You are God who opens the ears of our understanding, O Lord God. And you are God who opens doors for us. Lord, help us. Help us to hear from you. Help us to grow in the strength of your word, O Lord God. And help us to be nourished by your word. Nourish us, my Savior, for we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Let's be seated in God's presence. Welcome your neighbor once again. Ask him, do you have the same breath with which you came in? Do you have the same breath with which you came in? Our sister was asking. Right. Let's open our Bibles to the promise of the year. 1 Peter chapter 5, how many of us remember the promise of the year? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, and I want to read the whole part. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Jesus Christ. So, after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. Amen. Now, some of you would be asking, bro, the year is going to an end, and you're talking about the promise of this year. Brother is preaching from GMT minus 12 months. He should have thought about this before. Or some of you would be saying, it's a year of restoration, but all I see is suffering. All I see is restoration tarrying. Is this truly the year of restoration? Well, years come and go, but Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And he continues to remain your restorer. Amen. 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 But there is one thing. There is one thing that precedes restoration. And that is what we saw in that verse. After you have suffered a little while. Ah, there comes that word, suffering. We don't like that word, right? But God, in his infinite wisdom, wraps restoration in the precious covering of suffering. How many of us unwrapped gifts this season? How many of us? You don't need to show hands. I won't ask for it. But then, what do we do with the wrapper? We are more bothered with the stuff inside, no? The wrapper depends upon how much hungry we are for the gift. The wrapper gets devoured, or sometimes the wrapper gets packed. But here, when God packs restoration, sometimes the value of the wrapping is more precious than the gift itself. And tonight, I think we'll go on for probably 6 hours. Today we'll be looking at wrapped restoration. Wrapped restoration. You see, in that verse we saw, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. Now, for an eternal glory, there is an earthly suffering which God ordains. For an eternal glory, God ordains earthly suffering. And as long as we are on this earth, let us be assured there will be suffering if you and I choose to live godly lives. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, I don't want us to go there, but it says, yes, and all who desire to live a godly life, here comes the good news, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And why is it a good news? Because God is not a God who abandons us in suffering, but he takes us through suffering, he refines us in suffering, and he makes us restorers. Not only does he restore us, he makes us restorers. Oh, we bless God for that faith, the mustard seed of faith that I'm seeing in this place. We bless God. Let's look at one example. You know, a few weeks back, we were looking at profiting from losses, and we were looking at the story of the unjust steward. And while we were going through that, there was the example of Joseph that we glanced by. Today, let's look at the sufferings of Joseph and how God wrapped restoration in his sufferings. So turn with me to Psalm 105, 17 and 18. Psalm 105, 17 and 18, because of time, I will rush through the scripture and you shall catch it in Jesus' name. Psalm 105, verse 17, he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons. Now notice, God sent Joseph. God sent Joseph to Egypt. Now he did not get a governor visa, he did not get prime minister visa, he did not get managerial visa, nothing. The way he was sent was a slave. God sent him as a slave. And in that, what was his sufferings like? What did Joseph suffer that God wants us to see today? You see, he suffered death. Death of his identity and death of his dreams. He had to suffer these deaths before God could bring restoration. If you look at Genesis 37, what was the first death that he saw? He saw the death of his identity as the dearest son. Death of his identity as the dearest son. Now, if you remember, Jacob, the Bible says in Genesis 37, Jacob loved Joseph more than all his sons. Right? How many of us know that scripture? Joseph was loved more than all the other sons, and there came sibling rivalry. Right? Have we endured sibling rivalry at some times? Sometimes it's our parents to blame. That is a good excuse for us. Right? But then, coming back, what was the sign that set him as the most favorite son? In Genesis 37, we see in verse 23, in verse 3, that Joseph was given a multicolored coat. His father gave him a multicolored coat, and the moment the brothers saw it, they hated. Why? The mantle was upon him and not on the others, and they were like, how can you give him such a mantle? And that was his identity. Everywhere he went, he stood out before because of that coat. And what happened in verse 23? When before Joseph was sold as a slave, the first thing that the brothers did was they stripped him of that robe. They stripped him. They didn't sell him with the robe. They didn't sell the robe separately, but they stripped him of that robe and took the robe back to the father and said, listen, the guy who was wearing it, we don't know what has happened about him. He has become a meal for some animal. To say, we don't recognize his identity as the choice son anymore. Joseph did not give up his position as the dearest son, but he had to witness the death as the dearest son. What else did he give up? He gave up the death as a distinguished servant. Death he witnessed as a distinguished servant. Fast forward that story, Joseph comes to Potiphar's house and he becomes promoted as the steward, as the chief steward of that house. And there comes Mrs. Potiphar there. And if you look at Genesis 39, verse 12, Genesis 39, verse 12, the Bible says that she came and caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. In some translations, the Bible says, he tore off from his garment. He was stripped of his robe. Now, this garment, for all we know about the Egyptian culture, it would have been something like a skirt. It was not the Hebrew robe. It was something like a skirt. And she held him by it, and he left that and fled. He had to let go of that garment that identified him as a steward. If you remember what he tells Mrs. Potiphar, don't you know that there is no one greater than me in this house other than your husband? He chose to let that identity die. When his robe had been taken off. The third death, the death as the despised Hebrew. Now, if you notice, the accusation that Potiphar's wife brings about Joseph is, look, this Hebrew servant, he has come to mock us. He has come to mock us. Before that, she actually accuses Potiphar, saying, he has brought this Hebrew servant to mock us. And here, then she says, this guy actually has mocked me. Now, what is so much about the Hebrew ethnicity over there? It is not just that she was accusing him of some ethnicity, but if you look further down in Genesis 43, when Joseph gets promoted, fast forward, there comes a place in verse 32, it says that the Egyptians would not sit and eat with the Hebrews because the Egyptians despised the Hebrews. Egyptians despised the Hebrews. He was a despised slave. Now, when he comes to the prison, fast forward again, he comes to the prison, and we see the story of the chief butler and the baker and Joseph interpreting the dreams. And if you look at Genesis 40, verse 23, Genesis 40, verse 23, the Bible says that the chief butler forgot. The chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Now, when the Bible says someone is forgotten, if you remember in Psalm 31, David laments, saying, I am like a forgotten man, I am like a dead man. That was the third death that Joseph witnessed. From the dearest son to the distinguished servant, even to the despised slave or despised Hebrew, he was not considered in any manner. Are you suffering a loss of identity today? At one point of time, you may have been someone, such and such a person in such a place. But now, you feel as if you don't have a place of standing. I have good news for you. God has wrapped his restoration in that suffering. God has wrapped his restoration within that suffering. The other thing that Joseph suffered was the death of his dreams. The death of Joseph's dreams. In Genesis 37, verse 7, if you notice how he spoke of his dream to his brothers, in Genesis 37, verse 7, he said, there we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose. My sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. Now that was a death sentence on Joseph. Because later you see the brother saying, here comes the dreamer, let us kill him, let us see what happens to his dreams. But you see the prophecy of that dream over there. If you notice what he described about his sheaf, he said, my sheaf arose. All the other sheaves were there, they never arose. They stood and they bowed down. My sheaf arose. Now that word, the Hebrew word over there for arose is kum. And if you remember in Matthew 5 or in Mark 5, when Jairus' daughter is dead, how does Jesus call her to life? He says, Talitha kum. Little girl, I say to you, arise. Joseph's dreams had to die for God to bring the reality of it to resurrection. The reality of that dream to come to resurrection, Joseph's dreams had to suffer death. Are you suffering a loss of dreams today? Even the ones given by God. Some of it might be our own fascination, but God knows the desires of our heart, and it is God who gives us dreams as well. But when dreams seem to die, remember, there is a God who's able to resurrect those dreams. Your dreams are just sleeping in God's sight. Your dreams are sleeping in God's sight. Now, when all this was happening in Joseph, we see how his identity was being degraded to the point of insignificance. We see his dreams, that which was distinguishing him, that which made him known as somebody who had dreams, even that failed. Remember, in the prison, Joseph was continuing to interpret those dreams. He didn't lose faith in the God who's able to resurrect dreams. When he goes to the butler, when he goes to the baker, he says, interpretation of dreams belongs to God, which means he knew that even his dream, God had given him the interpretation, and there would come a day of his rising. Your day of rising is coming in Jesus' name. But you see, for him to rise to that position, God had to wrap him in this suffering. Why? Because suffering, God intends to produce something in it. Let's turn to Psalm 105, verse 19. Psalm 105, verse 19, and if you can put it from the NLT, my sister. Psalm 105, verse 19. Until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. Until what he had spoken to his brothers had to come to pass, till that point of time, there was a character that had to be formed in Joseph so that he could fit to that restoration that God had ordained him into. And for that, God had wrapped him in the precious wrapping of sufferings. So what was the character that was built in Joseph that we can see? I wouldn't take much. I would take two of the characters of Joseph that we can see. One was his godliness. In his suffering, he was godly. Now, in Genesis 39, verse 9, when Mrs. Potiphar catches hold of his robe, what does he do? What does he say? He says in verse 9, "There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you." This is he talking about Potiphar, "because you are his wife." And then he says something profound. Even before the law was given, even before he had anything to refer back to, the conscience of his heart says to him, "How can I do this great wickedness against God?" Mr. Potiphar knew only to come to his house, eat and go. And if his wife had demanded something from Joseph, he could have always said, "I had no choice." But what did Joseph say? "My conscience, I will not allow to be pricked to the point of searing. Instead, I would say, how can I do this great wickedness against God?" That was the character that was being formed in Joseph of godliness. And what happens to the godly? If you look at Psalm 37, verse 39, the Lord rescues the godly. He is their fortress. He is their stronghold in the times of trouble. The Lord rescues the godly. He is their fortress in the time of trouble. No wonder the Bible says, even when he was in the prison, the Lord was with him. In your sufferings, God is with you as your refuge, as your fortress, as your stronghold to make and keep you in the place of godliness. Amen. The next thing that we see about Joseph, there are many things, but I would touch upon just one thing as the Spirit of God has led me. The second thing was contentment. Contentment. If you notice, there are the two bosses of Joseph. The one thing that was noted about Joseph was they gave everything into Joseph's hand. They had no account of what was going on. They didn't supervise anything about Joseph. That tells us something about Joseph's character. He had no covetousness. He did not covet anything because he was content. Because he was content. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, godliness with contentment now, not later, now, godliness with contentment is great gain. This was how this steward was profiting in his losses. When he saw death of his dreams, when he saw death of his identity, there was godliness and contentment keeping him in the place of great gain. And God shall keep you in the place of great gain in Jesus' name. And he was automatically fulfilling the precept that we have been given. What is the precept of this year? Zechariah 9, verse 12, "Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope, even today, I declare that I will restore double to you. You see, he was a prisoner of hope. His hope he did not let go of. And he kept God as his stronghold. Every time he was identified, even when Pharaoh meets him, what does he call him? The man in whom is the Spirit of God. I'm jumping. How did God restore double to Joseph? The first thing that you see is his identity is restored. Before that, how did Joseph have his great gain? Let's come to that a little later. How did he have his great gain? Now, when you fast forward in his life, in Genesis 45, when his brothers come to meet him, when he sends them back to Jacob, he gives each of his brothers a change of clothes. Of course, Benjamin got 5 more. But the ones who stripped him of his robe, Joseph gave to them, not with the attitude that I might have, see, take it. No. You meant for evil, but God meant it for good. He has sent me to preserve life, and I give life to you. You robbed me of my identity. God restored. I want to be a restorer of relationships. That is what the gain that Joseph found in the wrappings of his sufferings. How great a God we serve. Because his restoration, God did not make it anything less. You see his identity? From the point of insignificance, a forgotten Hebrew servant, in one day gets change of garment, gets shaved, and gets to be sitting in front of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, in this man is the Spirit of God. And then in Genesis 41:45, the Egyptians name him Saphnath-Paneah. Saphnath-Paneah, which means God speaks and lives. God speaks and lives. His identity, his restored identity, was far greater than what he could ask or imagine in Egypt. Now, what happened within his family? What happened in Israel? If you look at Deuteronomy 33, verse 17, Moses tells about Joseph. And I will read just one portion of that. His glory is like a firstborn bull. His glory is like a firstborn bull. That was what God restored Joseph to, the position of the firstborn. The position of the firstborn. How do I say that? Look at 1 Chronicles 5, verse 1. 1 Chronicles 5, verse 1. Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, he was indeed the firstborn, but because he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given to the sons of Joseph. You see that over there? His birthright was given to the sons of Joseph. In verse 2, yet Judah prevailed over his brothers, and from him came a ruler. But look at what it says in the end. Although the birthright was Joseph's. Now there's one thing about birthright in Hebrew culture. What is that? The firstborn gets 2 portions. Right? Now let's do some math over here. If there are 12 brothers,
The firstborn gets 2 by 12. Now, fraction children, what is 2 by 12? 1/6, right? The rest of them gets 1/12, which means if there was a 600-acre field, Joseph would get 100, the rest would get 50. God restored him double, just as he said. And so there shall be your portion as well, in Jesus' name. Now, how do we unwrap restoration? Brother, you said all this about Joseph. What about me? I'm still in the same state. No. You see, God, in his infinite mercies in Christ, has brought us to the position that Joseph had to struggle to get in. I thought I will hear a hallelujah. In this man is the Spirit of God. I want to ask yourself, is the Spirit of God in me? Is the Spirit of God in me? Now, when the Spirit of God is in you, Romans 5, verse 5 says, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into the hearts by the Spirit who has been given us. Therefore, we rejoice in our sufferings because we know suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character. All these things, when you read Romans 5, 1 to 5, you see what God does to each of us through suffering, because the Spirit of God is in us. God, in infinite mercies, allows us to go through suffering because he's not just with Joseph as he was, he's in us. We are in greater advantage. If Joseph was over here, he would look at us and say, guys, what are you doing here with a glum face? Walk into your restoration. God is able to cause you to endure through sufferings. Our stronghold, if Joseph was a prisoner of hope, so are we. Amen? Amen. All those who are sleeping, say amen. Amen. Just cut you. Right. His stronghold, if God was a stronghold, what was our stronghold, or what is our stronghold? What gives us identity? What gives us identity? Joseph lost all his identity. Even so do we, because God gives us identity as sons and daughters in Christ through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. And I will read from the NLT. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. We can be dead to sin and live for what is right. But we all jump to the last verse. By his wounds, you are healed. Yes, you are. He's the balm of Gilead. He heals you beyond what any balm can heal. He heals you the deepest recesses of your spirit. But he gives you an empowerment to live towards righteousness and be dead to sin. We can be a prisoner of hope like him. We have the stronghold, Christ our rock. And then, what does God do for us? He calls us as, what are we called? Disciples. We like sons and daughters. We don't want to attach to that term of disciples. We are called to follow his steps. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, Just as Christ suffered for you, he is your example, and you must follow his steps. Because he has empowered us, because we have the Spirit of God in us, and because he himself is our stronghold, God calls us to follow his steps in the pattern of suffering. Not returning reviling for reviling, not returning accusation for accusation, but instead to bless. Instead to bless. And then what does he do? He not only does that, he calls us to follow his attitude. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, and then we will close. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourself with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you are finished, or you have finished with sin. Look at the next verse. You won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. That is one place the Bible encourages us to have an anxious mind. The anxious mind to do the will of God, not after we finish suffering. Many of us say, God, let this finish situation get over, then I'll come to church even on Thursday intercession. No. In your suffering, be anxious to do the will of God. Let's rise up. We have looked at what God is able to do in the life of Joseph. And God is asking us today, in what way are you less empowered? The only way that you can be less empowered is if you are not in Christ. If you are not in Christ, the suffering that you may be going through, it may be real, it may be nothing of your fault, but you will have no understanding of the reason. And if you are in Christ and you are suffering for unjust reasons, or if you are suffering because you have done something wrong, God is God enough to forgive. Remember how he led us while we were praying for the promise of the week. It was the Spirit of God that was leading us, telling us, if there is any froward way in my heart, Lord, forgive me and lead me in the path everlasting. So, what is your suffering? Are you suffering justly, or are you just suffering? God invites you to come to him, to take him as your refuge, to take him as your stronghold. Surrender once again, lay down everything, and let him do what he is good at, restoring and resurrecting. The Lord shall help us in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, that you have spoken to us in this short while. Father, Lord, we have come before you. I pray, Father, that in our sufferings, you will refine us to produce that which you intend us to be, to be gold refined in the furnace that matches the image of your Son. And so, Lord, we surrender ourselves before you. Refine us through the refiner's fire in Jesus' name, that we may walk into your restoration as fit vessels in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we bless your name and thank you, Lord, for your message that we have heard, as you have promised that you, our shepherd, continue to lead us as we pass through various challenges and suffering, so that we'll be able to have the Spirit to unwrap that blessing that you have for us. Thank you, Lord, for your message we have heard this afternoon. Father, as we round up the year, We want to thank you and appreciate you for all our program that you have helped us, perfected them, and we are able to execute them. Father, we give you all the glory, being thou exalted in the mighty name of Jesus. As you have promised to restore us, continue to lead us in the righteous path in the mighty name of Jesus. Continue to be with us wherever we go, irrespective of the situation that we might face. Father, we pray, Almighty God, that firm foundation that you have placed our foot shall never be shaken in the mighty name of Jesus. I want to thank you for your son that you have used for us today. Father, we pray for more anointing in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless him, bless the work of his hand in Jesus' name, and let your name be glorified. Bless his family, bless his children, bless sister, bless all that are connected to him, including the member of this church. Let your name be glorified. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. At this point, let's remember those that will be traveling this week and next week as well, that God Almighty should go ahead of them. As many that will be traveling, Father, we commit them into your hand. Father, right from here to wherever they are going, let your presence go with them in the mighty name of Jesus. And we pray those that have traveled down here, whenever they are ready to go back, that you guide them safely back to their various destinations in the mighty name of Jesus. They are here, they shall go back with testimony in Jesus' name. And those that will be traveling as well, they will come back with testimony in the mighty name of Jesus. And for our members that have traveled, and they will be prepared to come back, Father, let them return with testimony in Jesus' name. The remaining part of our program for this year, Father, restore your glory in our programs in Jesus' name. And let your name be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Before we share the grace, there's a refreshment outside. Please grab one and be blessed. Let's joyfully share the grace together in fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you, and do have a wonderful festive mood.